Hi, I'm Bryce Rankins, and you're listening to episode 4 of Sneaky Geek.
Established where this kind of falls in the canon.
Yep.
We've established why it flushes out the characters of the soldiers, the Jedi, the separatist movement.
Yeah.
And why that's going on. You certainly feel like this war is not just good versus evil at this point.
There's a lot of working pieces.
And you start to realize something that gets pointed out in the Star Wars Rebels show when Ezra starts chewing out an old droid and an old clone soldier. And he says, neither of you won the war. Yeah. The Empire won the war. You guys just served to weaken everybody enough so that the Empire could take over.
Yeah.
And through Clone Wars, like when you hear him say that, it's like, wow, that really makes sense. But when you've seen all of what happened in Clone Wars, you realize that is really what happened. Mm-hmm. Is this the clone armies, the droid armies, the separatist movement, all of these things served to divide so that the Sith could take over and eliminate the Jedi, and
how it made things kind of smooth for the Empire to take over, and that there was so much chaos going on, the Empire offered stability, and that's why people clung to it so hard at first, because you get to episode 4, A New Hope, and the Empire's evil, how could this happen, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is kind of the lead up to it, and why, and
people cheered when Chancellor Palpatine said that they would forge a new Empire.
Yeah.
You know, Jar Jar Binks freaking hollers out like, let's do this, or let's do this, as it were. and everybody is, you know, it comes with fanfare and applause. Yeah. And while it is dark and looming and you realize that we've just murdered all of these beloved characters that you fall in love with through the course of the Clone Wars, which makes Revenge of the Sith a much more enjoyable movie also. Because as we stated at the beginning of this podcast, Revenge of the Sith is not without its problems. But those problems are a lot easier to forgive when you come at it from a much more knowing perspective. It doesn't make the movie stand alone any less poorly.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you have to watch 5.5 or 6 seasons of cartoons in order for your movie to suck less,
there's still a big problem.
There is a big problem. Right. But if you are going to be watching Star Wars and you wish that there were things that were properly dealt with and fleshed out, and you view Revenge of the Sith as the closing chapter to the Clone Wars,
to the prequel part of the universe.
Right.
Well, and more specifically to the clone, if you watch it as a closing chapter to the Clone Wars TV show.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can view it and you can just simply pretend not to deal too much with Anakin's emotions
or lack thereof.
And in the process, I think you'll find that the Clone War, or the Clone Wars as an event, and the purging of the Jedi, and the development of the Empire are actually a really, really cool story. Unfortunately, when you watch a movie that is primarily focused on Anakin's whiny angst,
because he only has one feeling.
Him and all the feel.
Yeah. well played.
When you watch it as that, it can be a pretty frustrating movie in a lot of ways. But when you watch it as the closing chapter of Cody's story of...
Is Cody the one with the beard?
No, he's Commander Cody. He's one of the clone troopers.
No, I understand that, but doesn't... One of them ends up with a beard. No,
Rex ends up with a beard.
Rex, okay.
So we're going to get to that in just a sec. So you close off all of this. So that's reason number one, is it makes Revenge of the Sith a much better, more impressive movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two, it leads into, and we'll do a whole other episode about this eventually, but it leads into Star Wars Rebels allowing to exist. Okay. It paves the way.
It's a TV spiritual show. Sequel to the Clone Wars.
I mean, there's not really any television shows about Star Wars despite its 40 years of existence.
No, that's true. Yeah.
And now Clone Wars has been wildly successful, and now we can have Star Wars Rebels, which takes place 15 years after the events of Revenge of the Sith, and characters from Clone Wars come into play. They bring back Saw, which also shows up in Rogue One.
Yep.
They bring back Ahsoka Tano, spoiler alert, season two. And it's fantastic how they do
Great
they
setup.
Bring back Darth Maul again after his resurgence in Clone Wars.
Yes, I saw
a great another great arc. So what's really awesome is most of the crew from the Clone Wars were still with Lucasfilm, and so they got brought on to do Rebels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so Dave Filoni's still in charge, one of the head writers.
And Dave Filoni has his hands in the extended canon as well.
Right.
So, like, when Star Wars A New Dawn, which is the prequel to Star Wars Rebels, when that book came out, he had so much hand in it that he actually had to sign off on the cover art to make sure that it looked right.
Yeah.
Which, while it's a good read, it's a much better listen. Listen to Mark Thompson. Listening to Mark Thompson read anything is fantastic.
True.
As an audiobook guy, he has spoiled me rotten.
Well, what's also good too is there's also an Ahsoka book that came out,
and we kind of alluded to,
right? Read by Ashley Eckstein,
Really awesome. But that book was used with partial ideas that were supposed to be used in season 7 and 8 for Clone Wars that got brought into the book itself because Dave Filoni had all these notes on all the characters, especially her. Since she was an original character, on her arc and where he wanted that character to go, and he helped bring that into.
And what I really like about her also is that beyond droids and Chewbacca, there's not really a ton of characters that are protagonists that have such a important role that aren't human.
Yeah,
and
or human looking. Anyway.
Human looking. Yeah.
That was one of my problems with Rogue One. There wasn't enough. I wanted like an alien on the actual. Main team, but anyways.
Yeah, but it also notes it's all you know, and it's noted within the extended books that have been coming out that the Empire and even Dooku was kind of genocidal in some regards. There are several
xenophobic,
for sure. Exactly. And the Empire itself, as far as who gets upgraded and who gets promoted and such, are also typically only human. Which Ahsoka, she has these tendrils off on her head, which have a name and I can't remember them. They grow at a different rate than she does, and they continue to get higher and things like that. So she has to deal with things like that that aren't human, but you still care. And that's in her book, but in the show, she winds up having a big role in the last portion of the Rebels operating by themselves before they start interacting with the other Rebel factions.
Before they become an alliance?
Before they start interacting with the other cells of the Rebellion.
And actually form the Rebel Alliance rather than just Rebel cell here, Rebel cell here, Rebel cell here.
Yeah, because the Rebel Alliance is an alliance of several Rebel factions.
Which you don't really realize.
You don't realize it when you watch the first one. You're like, oh yeah, the Rebel Alliance. You know, that's just what they call themselves. They're an alliance of all these people. But they're an alliance of several factions of Rebels who have been screwing over the Empire in any way that they can.
Right.
So, Rebels opens up. You've got Ahsoka Tano. Her character comes into play. Maul comes into play. The books wind up coming out of Clone Wars as well. There's several novels that actually finish off the Clone Wars storyline. There's several novels that...
Which ones are those?
There's Dark Disciple. There's Ahsoka.
Ahsoka wasn't really a Clone Wars novel.
But a lot of flashbacks were Clone Wars related.
But not really.
And she closed a lot of characters for it. Because she would talk about what happened with various characters. She talked about Plo Koon. She talked about...
It was the longest night of Andy Dufresne's life.
Andy Dufresne crawled through 2 miles of shit.
Filth that I can't even imagine. It was the longest night of Plo Koon's life.
And now I have an awesome visual.
You're welcome. You're welcome for that.
Digging his way through. Anyway.
Well, I mean, at least he's got that mask on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got the introduction to the Inquisitors comes out of Clone Wars characters.
Okay.
And what was happening with, again, non-force
non-Jedi force users. Unaligned force users.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, fair.
So and force-sensitive children, what was happening with force-sensitive children and how the Empire was dealing with them is kind of a weird extension of what happened with Force Unleashed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Vader's
Force Unleashed is a video game.
Which is no longer canon, but it's a great video game. It's a great video game on the Wii, despite its graphic downplay, the ability to do force pushes with your arms.
And then with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would be pretty fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's a great workout.
I will say that
I was always exhausted at the end of the Force Unleashed.
The one thing I will say is that, you know, the prequels gave me And the few episodes of the Clone Wars that I've seen kind of contributed to this. I have a lot greater appreciation for Obi-Wan than I did.
That fleshed him out amazingly.
Which I think was obviously part of the point.
Right.
And, you know,
so you get to hear him go, Anakin, over and over. Yeah. Because Anakin's always pissing him off.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, which is hilarious.
And it makes you love Anakin and Obi-Wan's friendship a lot more, that when Alec Guinness says, you know, he was a general in the Clone Wars, etc., and here's all that story, you don't think back to, he was a whiny little bitch. You think back to, and he was amazing, and he fought alongside the clones, and he was my best friend, and we
and he
was an asshole. He got me into trouble. I got us out of trouble. I got us into trouble. He got me out of trouble. We were a ragtag couple of dumbasses trying to be soldiers when we weren't, and we made it work. And when you think back to that, suddenly the prequel world feels more worth it.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. But I'm really interested now in the idea of some Obi-Wan standalone films.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And if they pull from anything from the Clone Wars, that
But now that you and McGregor apparently is still interested in playing the role, now that he's starting to age, you know, be the right age.
Yeah.
He grows one heck of a beard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I will say that is one one piece of prequel casting that Lucas got perfect.
Oh, perfect.
So.
Yeah. And frankly, like, while it is, you know, we've talked about all these other characters who've gotten fleshed out who weren't necessarily done well. You know, Anakin wasn't necessarily done well. We didn't really get to learn much about Kit Fisto or Shaak Ti or Plo Koon.
Or any of the Jedi.
What's his name?
Ki Adi-Mundi. I had all the alien Jedi figures, by the way.
Oh, I do.
Those dudes are pimp.
Yeah. But while all those characters, you know, sometimes they get a couple of lines here and there and we get to see them fleshed out, it's nice to just get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
But Obi-Wan, particularly, he's your brother, he's your friend, he's your father, he's everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you really come to appreciate all of his personal struggles. You know, you get a little bit more backstory as to what he was like as a Padawan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get to
look how he ends up on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of that comes up in the Clone Wars. We talk about, you know, some of his early assignments.
And some of it shows up in Rebels.
Some of it does show up in Rebels. And he is voiced by J.A.T. What's his name?
James Earl Taylor.
Yeah. And he is so good. He's just such a good.
So when Episode 7 came out, Rey touched the lightsaber. There's that awesome flash stuff, and you hear different voices. Before Ewan McGregor came in and did his part, James Arnold Taylor did the part for that because he was so well loved in the Clone Wars that he was going to be Obi-Wan's voice in the movie for the little flashback scene. And then they end up getting Ewan McGregor to come and do it. And it was awesome just having that connection in there too, which they then splice with Alec Guinness's lines too. And
because there's basically three Obi-Wan Kenobis as far as I'm concerned.
New canon books. There's some that aren't that great, but
things like the Jedi Code and stuff. I mean, those are referenced, like in Dark Disciple, which I just read. Obi-Wan is really upset over stuff that is happening, and he has to go in and talk to the Council.
Oh, he shows up and he's in Dark Disciple?
Yes.
Oh, they're all in it.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said, there's such a big arc in the TV show. Yeah, okay. So the TV show characters show up too.
Obi-Wan's standing outside and he's like, there are no emotions. There's only peace. And he starts going through.
Through the code.
Through the code. He's like reciting it to himself to just kind of calm himself down before he goes forward.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's, you know, that's something that I didn't see until KOTOR. I don't know the, where it originates.
KOTOR is Knights of the Old Republic, by
but,
the way.
But, you know, now we're getting to the point where we've seen Clone Wars makes Revenge of the Sith better. It ties up the prequels better. It opens the door for a lot of really, really cool things as far as expanding the universe in this era of expanded universe. And I think that's pretty much all we need to talk about.
There's one thing.
Go ahead.
I've been sitting on this the whole episode. Yeah. You know what it is. And I know you hate fan theories, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway.
Let's do it.
So, which is it? Rex is the one with the beard?
Yes.
Yes. Oh. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. Okay. So, please. Commander Rex is one of the clones. And, you know, understandably, the fate of a lot of the clones is left.
Is he Ahsoka's commander? Or is
yes.
he?
Yeah. Because he palled around with... It was he went around to both, I think.
He right. regularly associates with Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but the fate of most of the clones is left largely unresolved at the end the of, part,
yeah.
certainly at, through the
A lot of them die on the Death Star. Well, actually, a lot of them die before the Death Star now.
Before, because they're getting older.
In old canon.
Right. They, and they're aging. Because they're aging quicker. Now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But the in Return of the Jedi,
uh-huh.
On the end, the scene in Endor, when they're when the rebels are storming the generator, there's a particular rebel soldier with a kind of full, bushy white beard.
A little bit of a darker dude.
And, yeah, a little swarthy, yeah. they might say. Mm-hmm. And fans had started to speculate, hey, maybe that's Rex. We don't know what happens to Rex.
Right.
And Dave Filoni, his own bad self,
yep.
got wind of this fan theory, and he's like, yeah,
it
I
makes
like
sense.
It.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Right
so...
And there's actually
he used to be called Gramps in the old canon. They
yes.
were like, this is Gramps, he's the old guy in the rebellion.
Right.
What have you.
And
but
now
who's to say that Gramps isn't a nickname
Rex.
For what they call
yeah.
Rex?
Because he's been around for so long.
Yeah.
So Filoni's like, yeah, okay, we like
because
it.
Because I think
Boom.
Even there's been a couple of producers from the show like, yeah, we actually kind of noticed that too, and that's what we were possibly trying to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's
yeah.
official yet. Wink,
wink.
Wink,
nudge, nudge.
Dave Filoni
yeah.
says I'm for it.
Yeah.
And what's cool is when Rex shows back up, along with a couple of other clones, spoiler.
In Rebels. Yeah.
He shows up, and he's got the beard that Gramps has
yeah.
in Return of the Jedi.
So there it is.
Yeah.
So there it is. You
yeah.
know, this, we have so many cool things that come out of this, and it's honestly, like, clever retconning.
Yeah.
And not in a way that's really
upsetting. Have you ever discussed what a retcon is?
I don't think so, no.
Real quick, retcon is short for retroactive continuity. That's when we have a story, and then we have a later story that tries to address some potential inconsistency in the story. The term
to smooth things out.
Yeah,
it's a plot hole filler.
It's a yeah. comic book term. The term was first used by a guy named Roy Thomas. Roy Thomas was an early comic book fan. He took over writing. Well, actually, he took over as editor-in-chief at Marvel
right.
after Stan Lee left. You know, way back in the day. He wrote a lot of Marvel books. He did a lot of writing for DC. He's a big fan of the Golden Age, and he wrote a series in the 80s called All-Star Squadron, which took place during World War II and dealt with a lot of those Golden Age characters. Mm-hmm. So filling in a lot of gaps and things like that. And that's where he first uses the term retcon. So,
yeah. So that's retconning. Clone Wars is one
it's
of the greatest
retcons.
Retcon.
Yeah.
It's one
yeah,
of the greatest retcons in Star Wars.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, we don't have any messages right here because we're a small baby podcast. It is something we'd like to have eventually so that we might be able to, you know, make these pretty consistently. So if you could help us out, we would love a review and a subscription on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or even SoundCloud. We'd appreciate it. Thanks, guys. All right, back to the show.
And we're back. Thanks for that sing-off. That was nice.
You're welcome.
I do want to talk about one other character very briefly before we leave, because I would feel remiss if I didn't bring him up.
Mm-hmm.
General Grievous in the Clone Wars
is such
a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
and
that is
I
true.
Loved Grievous when I was a kid. I was like,
yeah.
I don't know who this kid
cool
is.
He was a cool villain.
You know, the idea of only Force users could use lightsabers was kind of up in the air.
Right.
This guy's coughing like Brian has been throughout this entire episode. Is he a cyborg? Is he even remotely alive? And then you see his eyes a little bit, and then the whole heart and stomach thing from the other one.
Right.
But like, it's almost, he's almost so good that his death feels anticlimactic by comparison when it finally happens in Revenge of the Sith. But he is the ultimate runner, and he's constantly, you know, getting in the way. But he slaughters so many characters. Right.
Well, and he shows, we first get our introduction to him in the Tartakovsky Clone Wars episodes. And we get that magnificent final episode of the first segment, you know, because the Tartakovsky Clone Wars were released in two volumes. Seasons, I guess. Yeah. Volumes is probably better. Yeah. But and at the end of that first volume, when he's just destroying the Jedi, you know, and taking their lightsabers, and that's how he ends up, because they're a trophy, you know. And then as we get into that second sequence where... you know, where he kidnaps the Chancellor and all that, and there's the fight with Anakin and Mace Windu and all that.
Yeah.
We get the some force use that damages his organs,
which is why
he has the cough. Because
was it in the Tartakovsky that we see the temple with the Grievous's history stuff?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That isn't as covered and unfortunately not as fleshed out in the Clone Wars CGI TV show.
Yeah.
But
he is a fantastic villain.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
A little cowardly, but...
Yes. Which is weird because he's so powerful.
Yeah.
But I think that's...
He's also, I think, a master strategist. Master strategist. So he knows this is not a winning solution that I want to have to fight through.
We're right.
And he can get out.
One of the things that I like
ships blow up with Grievous flying away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I like though about his final battle with Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith is the way that Obi-Wan has to finish him.
Oh yeah.
Because Obi-Wan has to finish him out with a blaster.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, when he's like, he looks at it, he's like, ugh, how so uncivilized. Civilized. You know, but that's that call back to
episode four
yeah. with, you know, a more civilized weapon for, you know, for an earlier age. You know, and so the fact that he has to, you know, that, I mean, for us, it's, oh, that's so clever. Kinda,
yeah.
That's so badass.
But for the character, he's like,
ugh. Yeah, because because you know we get his story out of order.
Yeah.
We get old Obi-Wan first before we get young Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
He's still moving through his story in the right order.
Yeah.
So.
And Grievous is his storyline really shows how far Dooku goes as well, because Dooku trains, you know, Grievous.
Creates him, right?
Yeah, so I think in the books they expand on his backstory a bit more. He ends up with some sort of disease or something, and he's basically the precursor to Darth Vader, because he has to get a new skeleton, a new body, but it's all encased, or he still has his internal organs, which are all encased in this new suit, similar to how Vader was.
And this is the first time we really see a cyborg. And when you look at Vader throughout the entire original trilogy, you assume that he's a man in a suit.
Right.
You don't realize until like he's crawling his body up the hill on what is it, Mustafar, you know, that he's a torso.
Yeah.
You know, Vader is a torso with damaged lungs and
skip core day.
Yeah. The only way he's up to get there is using his core.
Yeah.
But
doing the worm.
Right. Yeah.
But you realize that Vader is not just some dude in a suit who needs some breathing help. Like
he's not just some asthmatic in a suit.
Yeah, he's not an asthmatic in a breathing suit. He's not in the walking iron lung.
He is in a life support system.
Yeah,
yeah.
The suit is in that.
So what's cool about Grievous is that Mustafar and the crawling and that scene you see with him jacked up with only legs
with
and
Vader
such. With Vader
yeah. Anakin
yeah. with Anakin
yeah. Anakin Vader
he's been declared
Darth Vader
yeah that's not, true
he's been declared
he's not Darth Vader as we've come to know and fear him
yes
and
yeah. Fear I like should be it. Yeah.
Thank you
and then but you see as he's crawling like Vader's not just some dude asthmatic in a walking iron lung life support suit he's an arm, legs, everything. He is put back together largely of cybernetic parts.
Mm-hmm.
Scraps and rage.
He's a junkyard walking through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my name, by the way. Dibs. Scraps and Rage.
What's really cool also about Clone Wars is that David Tennant has won a daytime Emmy for a character. For a
voice role.
Really?
Yeah, so he plays, again, there's different kind of storylines. In one of the Jedi storylines, he plays a thousand-year-old
lightsaber droid guide.
Yeah, lightsaber guide. So he helps young
lightsaber guide.
He helps younglings build their lightsabers.
The first lightsaber.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So it's really cool, and it first shows the younglings and the Padawans going to I think Ilum to get their lightsaber to get their crystals, the kyber crystals, and then. Ahsoka is actually the one kind of helping them.
Yeah, Ahsoka and Yoda are like guiding them to this next stage of their Padawan training.
Uh-huh.
And then they get their stuff and they go up to the ship and then there's awesome David Tennant robot being sassy and snarky and but just like
but also sweet
but also yeah
and like he's just this he's older and he's like, you know, I've seen all of these things.
Yeah.
I mean the guy's older than Yoda.
Yeah, he's been around for 1,000 years.
And he's been like he probably guided Yoda through his lightsaber training, like that's
So it's really cool, and it
which
and
I've never thought about before, but that's really neat.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool how they.
I guess I hadn't really considered that there might be someone out there older than Yoda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, again, like I love the Jedi lore and the backstories and what makes Jedi Jedi and the philosophy kind of stuff. And so just seeing that part, I was like, holy crap! And then knowing it was David Tennant, like because that's when I.
That's pretty badass.
Right in the middle of my like love of Doctor Who era. Mm-hmm. I don't love it now. But right when I was really into it and I was watching this too, it was like, holy crap, damn.
Yeah.
Shut up and take my money.
And when you talk about Clone Wars and you're saying, you know, oh, it expands a lot on the Jedi, your first thought is, oh, cool, I'm going to learn about Ki-Adi-Mundi and Mace Windu and all these other guys. You don't think, and it's going to talk about these younglings that are...
All going to die.
And that's... Like, that's there's something beautifully tragic about knowing that these people are all learning and getting excited.
And it won't matter.
Yeah.
But
at that point in the series, it doesn't even click with you because you're so focused on the story that's going on right then and there and the characters that were going on.
Yeah. And you care so much about the... Like, they have... what is Greedo? He's a...
Rodian.
Oh, yeah, a Rodian. They have a particular Rodian, and I want to say she's a girl.
Yeah.
And she has this moment where she's looking for her kyber crystal and she can't find it in the cave and she's getting really upset. And she says, she takes a deep breath and she goes, I am one with the Force and the Force will guide me. Aww. And then you're like, that's so close, but I don't care. I was throwing my arms up. Like,
oh, I didn't realize that.
And I recorded a portion of it and I sent it to Brian like, yes, this is great. Because this is this idea that had happened years before Rogue One or anything like that, but she takes a moment and she meditates or whatever, and then she sees the glow, and then she goes and gets her crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we expand on the crystals, we expand on Jedi lore, we expand on history, we expand on the conflict, we expand on clones. Everything is expanded in this show.
Yeah.
So, that's the Clone Wars. That's why you should watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you semi-sold?
Yeah. I mean, now I just need to find the time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you can skip, you can decide to skip all the Jedi, you can decide to skip all the clones, you can skip all the Jar Jar.
I probably ought to just watch it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I recommend it. Sure. There's a few arcs with Jar Jar that's a little frustrating, but...
everything with Jar Jar is frustrating.
But
unless you're 10.
I think there's an episode where they kill off another Gungan, like, and Dooku ends up being the one who does it, or, Grievous, I think, is the one who does it. And, like, it's a Jar Jar episode, but it's...
Got dark.
It's heavy. Like, that's a rough time. Because there's another episode where Jar Jar, like, is freaking out, and the senator's trying to calm him down and get him into his seat, and in the process of trying to get back into his seat, the plane the ship crashes, and the other senator dies, and it's like, Jar Jar, this is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason we're even crashing is because you screwed up something with your stupid drunken master nonsense.
Darth Jar Jar.
Yeah. So, I could dig it. Yeah.
Then again, Jar Jar's also kind of a simple man. Maybe Jar Jar's just being...
Maybe Jar Jar's just an idiot.
Just mind Jack control is what I was going to say.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you reading right now?
I did mention last night at our other podcast it's being...
That they're not going to hear for another 3 months or 2 months?
Yeah.
Um,
are you reading anything Star Wars related right now?
you know what I've been getting from the new Star Wars comics? I've been getting the Journals of Obi-Wan Kenobi issues.
Those have been amazing.
I love those, and I hope they're going to continue them.
Yeah.
It would be a wise choice marketing-wise with the recent announcement of Obi-Wan getting his own movie.
Right. They were doing these as these interstitial
one-shots,
you know, one-shots between the larger
narrative.
Yeah. And the last one, the last sort of, you know, from the book, from the Journals of Obi-Wan Kenobi has been like a four-part Yoda's private war, Yoda's secret war or something.
Yeah. Ooh.
And yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. So
again, touched upon non-Jedi Sith Force users.
Right. And so I've been enjoying those. I have not been getting much of the other stuff. I'm kind of intrigued by the Poe Dameron miniseries.
Poe's been really good, but it when it first gets set up, it's set up as like 5 to 6 months before episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're 20-something issues in. You're like, okay. Like,
20?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it was a miniseries. I didn't realize it was an ongoing.
It's an ongoing. Okay. And so it's like, okay, this is good, but it's like, where are we going with this? You already kind of set up, I think they set up as possibly a miniseries, and if it fails, that's when they cut it off and bridge the gap to.
They do that sometimes. They'll start things as a miniseries, and then sales will justify expanding it.
And that's what happened with the Kanan issues, too. Because that was supposed to be an ongoing, and it made it 12 issues, and then.
They're like, okay, we're done here.
It was still a great series.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so I think that's kind of what they're doing with the Poe books is it's going and it's starting to drag on a little bit, and it's kind of like, okay, let's not get lost status here where it's just.
But if you're interested in these, you can get these at your local comic book shop.
Yeah.
Go on in and then ask if they've got them. They've got a couple of them in trade paperback now.
Yeah, they got two or three trades out right now,
which are available anywhere books are sold. You can pretty much get those.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's you're an Obi-Wan. Where can we find you on the internet?
At Mr. Dave Ziegler on the tweeters. I don't have the Instagram or the Snapchat and all that jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And then, Brian, what are you reading right now? Star Wars related.
Star Wars related. I just started the Phasma book, which I think I mentioned last night in the other podcast, but you're going to hear this one first, so it's fine. Just finished up.
Are you listening to it or are you reading it?
You know what? Who knows at this point in time? So I'm listening to the audio book of Phasma. It's been pretty good. I'm only like 3 or 4 chapters in. But I just finished Battlefront.
That's the one that sets up for the plot second of Battlefront 2.
No, it sets up the characters that are in it.
Okay.
Some of the characters. This happens, the book happens right after episode 4, but the game happens after episode 6.
Oh, okay.
So the other thing I'm into right now, Star Wars related, is I'm playing Lego Star Wars 3, the Clone Wars one.
Yeah.
That's the one I hadn't finished yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm enjoying that a lot. Yeah. I've had it for a while. The Ziglets were playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I probably ought to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
I heard it was pretty good. I mean, the first two Star Wars Lego games were amazing.
Yes.
They were so much
lots
fun.
Of
They're
fun.
Hilarious. And even, I guess, the Force Awakens Lego game was pretty good, too. Had the cast in there doing voices.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as big a fan of since they started bringing in the voices from, you know, instead of having the Lego
just
making Lego language or whatever.
Yeah.
But the Lego Force Awakens is a lot more complex than the other ones.
Right, right. It's more story driven, right?
Well, story driven, but it's also there's a lot more you got to do. I mean, when you build something in the first three Lego. The Star Wars Lego games.
Yeah,
you have all these pieces just sort of kind of
bouncing around,
and you just build.
Go up and build the button, and it
you
does.
Build the thing. But in Lego Force Awakens, you get options. You either build this thing or this thing.
Oh wow!
And then it's like, well, which am I supposed to
what
do
am I
first?
Supposed to need?
Yeah. What am I supposed to do first?
It's a lot more puzzly in its building. Aspects.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, it's cool. It's fun. Yeah. We're enjoying
it's just
a
different
take
on it.
Exactly.
Right on.
So you've got Phasma, you've got,
what was that called?
Twilight Company.
No, Twilight Company was the first one. I got a few chapters in and haven't finished it.
Okay.
And then I just finished up,
the Battlefront.
Battlefront 2.
2's
book. Lead-in book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then.
That's pretty good.
What about you, Shabba? What are you reading?
I just finished Dark Disciple.
You've mentioned that 47 times.
Yes. I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah.
and it was the closing of the Clone Wars story for me, so I don't really have anything else that's
so you're prequel sort of era. Waiting to see what's coming next on the horizon.
Yeah,
I have some options.
I was thinking of maybe jumping over to fantasy, but I'm also thinking of maybe doing Lost Stars, yes, which takes place immediately after Return of the Jedi.
Which is by far the best new Star Wars canon book.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. If I don't do that, then I'm going to do Thrawn because Rebels is coming up.
I heard that one's really good. It was
pretty good, yeah.
Rebels, given that Rebels is coming up next month.
The new Thrawn season, novel or the, yes, the original
new Thrawn, trilogy? Not the original trilogy. Okay. Given that Rebels is coming up, one of the things that I've been kind of trying to do since the conclusion of last season is get through everything Clone Wars related, because when they make callbacks to it, which they regularly do, mm-hmm, when they make those callbacks, I'm a little bit more aware of what's going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Having not seen Clone Wars two seasons into Rebels, I wasn't necessarily as affected by the reintroduction of Rex or Ahsoka as I would have been had I read those.
Got it.
When I went back and watched some of those episodes,
you got a lot more out of it.
I got a lot more out of it. It was like hanging with old friends again, okay, which is weird considering, you know, I made that cartoons afterwards and they're cartoons. But Lost Stars doing that. And then I'm also reading American Gods right now,
which from is Neil Gaiman.
Show. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's so good.
Have you watched the show as well?
I have not.
Okay.
I saw a copy of it at my sister's house, and mm-hmm, I said, is this any good? I've heard people mentioning that it was like a TV show or something. And they said, oh, yeah. They've only a couple chapters into the series before they finished season one because they want to extend it pretty far. And I was like, well, I'll pick it up. Now, I mean, I've been reading Game of Thrones for like 10 years because it's just a slow slog to get through some of those chapters. Mm-hmm. 3 pages into American Gods, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to bed. And I powered through probably 80 pages.
Right. Well, I'm a big fan of Gaiman's work anyway. I feel like most of what he writes is
solid stuff.
Yeah.
So
I bought my own copy of the book, and while
you
I was
should have
there,
said something because I've got a spare copy.
Well, I really love my copy because it's got a cover that looks like old school science fiction.
It's Robert McGinnis does the cover painting. He did paintings for American Gods. He did a cover for Starlight. Is that?
I'm not sure.
Oh. For
3 or 4 Gaiman books, for American Gods, Anansi Boys, Neverwhere, and the fantasy one, Starlight, Starfall, Starbright.
Oh, it's Star something.
Star Scream. No, that's a different podcast. But you know, there's that.
Yeah.
So
I really enjoyed that. I have enjoyed it so far, and when I picked it up, I picked up Good Omens, which I have been recommending people read Good Omens.
I have not read that.
I've been recommending it since I was in high school because I had heard great things, but I've never actually read it.
What?
People have said...
You've been recommending it, but you haven't read it?
People have said, do you have any books to recommend? And I said, I haven't read it yet, but there's this plot about an angel and...
Right, and that's Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett.
And it's young Terry Pratchett when he's still very much happy about life and he's not as doomsday as he kind of becomes in his later years.
In the later Discworld novels.
Well, in the Discworld novels. And then from what I understand, Terry Pratchett's writing, as far as the cheeky cleverness, really stands out in Good Omens, but the plot has that Gaiman-esque quality to it. It's really nice. So, and what's really nice about that is after I finish reading that book, I'm going to get to watch it because David Tennant just signed on to do a Good Omens TV show.
Nice.
So you can find you at Mr. Dave Ziegler.
At Mr. Dave Ziegler.
At Shield Agent B-Rom.
Shield Agent B-Rom.
At Bryce Rankins. And you can find our podcast at Sneaky Geek Pod on Twitter. And at Sneaky Geek Podcast on Instagram, because they don't seem to have a problem with the length of my Twitter handle. Leave us a review if you like us.
And a nice comment. Or a mean nice comment. Whatever. Just
if
comment.
It's a mean comment, just make sure it's constructive. And if it's a nice comment...
And spelled correctly.
And spelled correctly. Yes. But leave us a review. I would love to hear any of your comments, any of your questions. We could maybe address them on like a Fan Mail Friday kind of situation.
Yeah. Ooh,
that'd be kind of cool.
Also, stay tuned for a similar episode like we just did for Star Wars Rebels.
Yep. We'll be doing one of those probably in the next couple of weeks, right around when Rebels comes out.
Or maybe just after. We'll see.
We'll figure it out.
You know how we work.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right.